Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 439. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
That was creepy.
Also that. Earl is here. Howdy. And Jeff is as well.
Yeah, I hope you all had a very special whatever.
Whatever.
Valentine, evening, date, dinner.
I
Fleshlight.
No. I mean, some people, I guess, but picked up my daughter and my wife was out until later, and then I played an hour of Kingdom Hearts. That was my evening.
Ooh.
Yeah. And my my 6-year-old read the text boxes for me.
Because you can't read them because they're too small?
No, she just started reading them. Like, I was internally reading them, and she just started reading. So I was like, all right, well, we'll work on your reading then. Lots of text.
So I'm playing the Kingdom Hearts 1 now. Is that something that continues in the franchise where, like, part of it's voice acted, and it's, like, halfway through, like, oh, you know what? Let's just have these people talking text boxes.
It is weird, though, because like, I'm also replaying Kingdom Hearts 1. And, we're in the Tarzan world, and like you get like this big, you know, fully voiced scene, and then it just kind of flips and there's text boxes.
That's literally what I'm finishing up now, which is why I'm asking, because I think I came to that scene, I think it was when you first meet Jane,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's voice acted and then it's not, and I'm like, this is a like there's no real divide, it's just like now you're reading.
Yep. No, there's no rhyme or reason to it at all. Like I think aspects of the Hercules, like the Colosseum stuff were like that. Like it's like, that's voice acted. But now if you want to talk to Phil, it's all just text boxes. So cool. So how are you enjoying Kingdom Hearts, Earl?
I'm enjoying it. I will say, and I think I said this when I talked about it the first time, this game is terrible at giving you any sense of direction or guidance. Like, I was doing the Tarzan thing, and I'm literally just the good thing is the Tarzan world isn't that big, but I'm just kind of going around to figure out when the cutscene triggers.
Yep.
Yeah. I literally bitched about this like a year ago when I bought the collection. I was like, I think about the same world. I said that.
Tarzan, I think, is specifically like the worst. Like, whereas, like, in a the Colosseum is very much just like you go in and fight, so it's very straightforward. But, the world before that, which is what the
Alice Wonderland,
yeah, like they kind of do like point you in the direction of where you should go. It's a little cryptic because it's the fucking cat, but. It's close enough that like you kind of figure it out and understand what you need to do. But Tarzan is terrible about it. It's like,
yeah. And I mean, the worst part about that is because like part of it is you have to go through that swing and stuff, which isn't really that fun.
No, not at all.
Mechanic-y. So it's like, I just want to kind of figure out where I need to go so I can avoid doing it as much as possible. And it's like, it's really just me running around to different locations triggering the cutscenes. But the problem with this game is, as far as I can tell, enemies continuously spawn, because in some games you usually just follow the enemy trails and like, okay, you're on the right path. But because you're even area and they will respawn anyhow, it's hard to say if you're going in the right direction.
Right, because it's like, oh, nope, there's enemies here again.
Yeah.
I ran around for a little bit trying to find Kerchek.
Yes.
And it's like you ended up having to go back to the treehouse. And it was like I couldn't find my way because like it wasn't triggering one of the it was like, oh, this is a vine you can climb or whatever. So I was like running around like, what? Where the hell am I?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm still having fun with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that my thing is, and you know, it's whatever. I'll get used to it, I guess, or I'll complain. It's like this is a franchise that is made for kids, so it's weird that it's so obtuse at times.
Yeah.
It's older game too. Like I started Kingdom Hearts 2 and I was like, yeah, this feels way more modern than that first one.
Yeah, and I think as like, I mean, if you play a Dream Drop Distance, like I think you, like that one was for handheld, but they do start become like a little more straightforward and kind of like, you know, do a little bit better job of signposting what you're supposed to do. Kingdom Hearts 1 is very, it is very obtuse in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But I mean, I get, you know, a lot of people who played this, I guess, were teenagers and they figured it out. I will do the same. Well, actually, I'm going to be honest. I'm just using a guide. I don't need to spend time figuring this game out. It's 20 years old. Nobody's going to fault me for just knowing where to go next.
Right.
I'll do the combat myself. I don't need to. It's not like there's a puzzle aspect to it. It's just like you have to figure out what the game wants you to do with no real direction. Like, I even checked the journal, and the journal is very, like, big picture.
Yeah, it's not like some of the journals that you get in games today where it's like, it kind of gives you an idea of where you should be going next. It's an interesting game. They do improve it going forward.
So I look forward to those. Though I hear this is the one with the most sane story. So
it is the simplest story. It's before, you know, you start getting into this guy split off from this guy and he's like a heartless or he's a nobody, or I don't know. Like, there's like a bunch of different terms, and it does start getting insane after you get past the original Kingdom Hearts. So, well, I'm glad you're sticking with it. I've somehow already caught up to you, but
I partially probably because I took like a 3-week break for like every other game I was trying out, which will be
fair enough. Talking about signposting, I guess. I played a little bit of Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yeah.
Tell Jeff you hate it.
I don't hate it. I don't love it though.
Ah. That's good enough for me. That's good enough.
I'm kind of blown away by that.
I can hear the disappointment in Jeff's voice.
Yeah. I don't know. Like there's things about it that are just frustrating to me. Specifically, like, the combat is awkward.
Really?
Like, I'm shooting these fucking things in the head 6, 7, 8 times.
Yeah.
Their fucking heads are no longer there, yet they're still getting up and like, no, like that.
That did bug me. Like, that absolutely bugged me for like the first hour or two. It did. Like, I was like, I shot that thing, like, I put a clip in him.
Yep.
I remember, I think I told you guys the same thing. I put a clip in his head. He's still coming at me. It's like, yeah, his face is gone. There's no face on it. It's red pulp, and he still has a head. I'm like, but then sometimes it does pop, and you're like, fuck yes.
Well, and it doesn't. So, like, I was like, I was not enjoying the combat on normal at all. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to drop it down to, what's it, assist mode or whatever.
Uh huh.
And that's no better.
I never tried it.
So it's like, they're easy mode. The guys are still getting up, like, you know, still taking 6, 7, 8 shots. And it locks on for you.
Their heads also, like, annoyingly. I mean, this is like any Resident Evil since 4, but basically, like, they're really good about, like, shuffling at you. So that's, like, hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, even when you feel like you got perfect shot, their head will just bob just in time, right before you pull the trigger. I'm like, God damn it. I think. I mean, how long have you played?
Like, I'm still in the police station, so. Okay.
That could still be a little while. I mean,
I'm still like, the helicopter just crashed, I think, so I'm like maybe
okay,
an hour and a half in. It's weird because you meet up with the lieutenant, so instead of him like locking himself in the in kind of like the office room, he's just kind of like out hanging
in
out
in the open.
Yeah. Which was a little weird. And they much like Resident Evil 1, they've changed the layout of
it's the same, but different.
Yeah, like there's some things that are like, oh, this is the same, but then like you get up to the second floor and like that is not like that gray hallway is not the same. Like
when you first walk in, so like there's that statue, it's like the first big puzzle, yeah, right?
It's actually pushed behind.
Yes. It's like you don't see that like when you first walk into the police station, this one you just see like a desk, like you would when you walk in a police station. Yeah,
which always was a little weird to me. It's like why is the front desk?
It's just like why do we have this art here?
Yeah, it's like why is it a really random statue? But like enough of it is the same, so you do get that vibe. Like it's a beautiful game. Like it's just fucking amazing looking. I'm just not enjoying the combat, like. And I think that's like, to me, it's like combat in Resident Evil isn't really what you're there for, but they kind of force it on you in this one. I mean, you can avoid them to a degree, but they also drop in more zombies than I remember from. I mean, I just played two, so they drop in a bunch. It is funny because like I played through Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil 2. Doing Leon and then a Claire B run, and my first run with Leon, like you start off with a ton of fucking ammo, which you don't want to use because you don't get a whole ton as the game progresses.
Yeah,
dude. But this one, like you start off with, like 6 shots and like good luck, and when you pick up a clip, it's not like you're picking up like when you pick up like a box of ammo, like sometimes there's only like 2 or 3 bullets in it.
Well, like also because they absorb so many bullets, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, I have 24 bullets. No, yeah, seconds later you don't.
They're yeah, that's like, 2 zombies. Like, yeah, 24 bullets in the original game was like you could take down 6 or 7 zombies.
Like 4 or 5 shots is usually the most it would take.
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
So it's. I'm going to continue playing it, obviously, and I do think it looks beautiful. They've changed like some of the story around a little bit. The first time you would run into Claire after you get separated is in the Stars office. But now like you go and you meet her, she's like outside of the fence. It's like a weird conversation. Yeah. It's like, it's fucking pouring. There's zombies everywhere. And like, he's like hitting on her.
It's, yeah. Like,
really weird. So I like it. I don't love it, but I am still really early.
I was gonna say, you know, you'll probably turn around on the combat and just be loving it. But like, I don't know. I feel like by the time I was where you were, I was like, okay, this is just what it is. Like they're gonna take more hits, or you just fucking run, or figure out something. Like, you know, you get more and more powerful shit.
Oh, I don't shotgun to the fucking face. Knife breaks.
Yeah, see, like, there's all those things, like, bugged me at first, but I think I got over them a little bit faster than you, so now I wonder if, like, it's a matter of you getting over it, or if you're like, no, I don't like this.
Yeah, I do wonder if, like, because, like, what I like about the, you know, the first 3, and then, like, even Code Veronica, is more the adventure game aspect.
I mean, that's still 100% here.
Yeah, it's just there's more like forced combat than I would like, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes on.
So you've run into Mr. X then, I'm assuming, then, right?
No, because like where I stopped playing was like I was having the conversation with Claire outside,
uh-huh.
Rain, and then the helicopter crashes, uh-huh. And I didn't immediately go investigate it. I went and saved.
Okay.
I know that like, if you go up there. That's the
yes, thing. Yes, he's that, like waiting behind the helicopter. Yeah.
So like Mr. X is in the original game, which is funny because like a lot of people, are like, oh my god, like this character, like great, like he's not there in the original one. Like, no, he's totally there. It's just you don't really experience him except in the B runs of that game.
Gotcha.
And he's not the same like what I'm seeing in these videos. I mean, like even the zombies here, like they can follow you through doors. So, like
that's
something that, like in you know, the original game, and even the remake of the of Resident Evil 1.
Yeah, yeah.
It, like if you got to another room, like you were safe.
Like, yeah, it's like
a fucking enemy there, but they don't follow you. Each its own thing, and this is like they will now follow you. They will now come down the stairs at you. Like,
oh, they don't have to go through the load screen anymore. They can get right through those fucking doors.
Yep. So it's interesting.
I forgot where I was going to go with this, but yeah, I'm very disappointed in you, Chris. I'm
sorry.
Your disappointment.
I hope you start enjoying yourself a little more. Because
I mean, I do like it. I just it's not blowing me away. And like I'm coming off of playing Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil remake, the HD remake, and it's like I really like that game a lot. Like, and it's like a wonderful update, but kind of keeping the core values of everything that original was. And for this one, it's like, all right, like yeah, it's an update and they are keeping some of it, but there's like things that they've changed and I'm like, I don't know if I like this yet. So
I do almost wish there was a run with like where Mr. X is like minimized way more, but no, he's pretty much the same through 3 out of the 4 that I've played.
Okay.
But like I it's not like once he shows up, he's like there all the time. Like, he goes away for large portions again.
So. Basically, you just have to get away from him. And then...
Yeah. You do feel like he kind of hangs over the rest of the experience because you're like, you know that he could come back.
Right.
But mostly does not. Once you see him in like the opening like police station, he's fucking going to be following your ass until you're done with that place. But, you know, you can run away from him. It's not impossible.
A spoiler for anybody that is playing Resident Evil 2 remake. Do you fight him in the A runs? Is he like a boss?
Yes.
Okay. So that's something in like the original Resident Evil 2. Like, you do fight him, but only as only in the B run with Claire. At least like with the
run. I want to say you do here in the A run. I want to say you do.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
All right. All right. So what have you guys been kind of playing? Earl, anything besides Kingdom Hearts?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a double-edged sword because a lot of the stuff I've been playing this week is the stuff that was in the Nintendo Direct.
Okay. Too, buddy.
So I guess the easiest one to start off with is Demon X Machina. Which I was actually kind of excited for, and then I tried the demo and my excitement's not there anymore. It's kind of a slow paced game, and visually there's just a lot going on in that HUD. Like, I know you can turn off elements, but like the default, there's just a lot of information coming your way, and I'm not sure how much of it is vital, but they give you about 4 missions, and really, by the end of the first or second, I'm like, this game, like, I understand you're part in a giant robot, that makes sense, or whatever, but there's ways to part giant robots that doesn't make it feel like you're, you know, like, carrying an anchor behind you, which is weird, because the whole point, like, you're so mobile, you have, you know, like, you have a booster pack, you can dodge after Ryan, and it's supposed to be like this, you know, cool stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this thing's moving so slow, it doesn't feel fun. So that was a disappointment. They got time, but right now that's kind of gone down on my radar.
Did anyone else play it?
No.
No.
I tried it out. It was a game I was like interested in when they showed it off, and then finally playing it last night, I was like, kind of similar to you. Like, it's weird. I went from I'm interested to see what this is to like once I started playing it, I was like, I probably won't buy it at least at full price. Like, it's not something I'm gonna pay $60 for.
Yeah.
But like, you know what it reminded me of? This is gonna sound fucking weird as shit, but it's like, if you want to understand like what this game, like the like what it is, it reminded me of fucking Battle Tanks for fucking N64, because it's just like the levels are just like, here's an arena, kill all the things. In fact, kill a bunch of tanks. It's kind of like it, but instead of like you being a tank, you're just a fucking flying robot, dude. I do think it has like a cool visual style. Like sometimes it looks really stunning, like it looks really cool, but then other times it looks flat or I don't know. Like it's hard for me to explain, but like I did think that was one of the pluses, like the look it had, even though it's not like graphically technically impressive. What were you gonna say, girl?
Oh, no, I think the customization is nice. I think, you know, the fact that you equip different weapons on your right and left shoulders, you can equip like a secondary weapon to that. All the different decals and stuff you can get. Like the actual customization part is cool.
Yeah.
But I was actually going to say, like, you reminded me, like, not only do you move, so the enemies, for the most part, are kind of eh. Like, I mean,
it's like an arcade game, dude, honestly.
Yeah, but a bad arcade game.
Yeah, like a cheapo, like mid-tier arcade type shit. Like, and which a lot of arcade games are, you know?
And I imagine, because, you know, it has a lot of elements where you can add parts to your robot. And I imagine by the end of the game, you'll probably be zooming across the screen at super speed and all that other stuff. But like at the start, it just does not feel great in that thing.
And to give you guys an idea of like customization, they start you off your robot with like, you know, in your left hand you have a shield, and your right hand you have like, I don't know, like an assault rifle or some shit attached to you, and like I just switched it to two guns or whatever, you know, like you could definitely tinker with your robot and like do different shit with it, and I don't know, like it seems like it'd be fine, like it seemed like a fine okay thing, but it was nothing like I was like, yeah, I'm day one on this, you know, it's just like. I'll buy it on sale probably down the line. I don't even know if that's even a $60. You're going to be there day one.
Is that even a $60 game? We don't know, but probably.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, kind of rated, but part of it was also my anticipation for it was just in once they announced like Astral Chain in the direct, because that looks really more my style.
That looks really cool.
I do have my Platinum games. I also tried out Yoshi.
Yes.
The style is amazing. I do love the art style of that game. And this might sound like a site, but if you've played a Yoshi game, you've played this before.
Yeah.
I think it's super charming and adorable. And it's a great, I think Yoshi and Kirby are great kind of, you know, like take it easy type games where you don't want any challenge. You just kind of want to relax. And that's what this offers. It's really cute. You know, the big gimmick here, aside from the art style, is that you have foregrounds and backgrounds, and you can shoot eggs into the background during your first go through the level and stuff like that to find hidden stuff, and I imagine that will come in later. And then once you beat a stage, you then have to run back through the stage in reverse, so you get to see the whole world that you just played through backwards. I don't know. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because it messes with the camera and stuff you probably didn't see on your way there. You get to, and then you try to catch pooches. Again, really charming, really cute game.
Yeah, I didn't, I forgot to download that one because it wasn't under like the.
It wasn't the under releases. The new release. Yeah.
So like, I got to go, I will, I guess, chime in next week, but I'm sure I'm going to say the same thing. It's like, they all feel the same. Like, they're cute, they're charming. They're kind of almost boring, but I mean, and I probably will buy it because I'm a sucker for Nintendo.
This is what, the sequel to Wii World essentially, except it's made out of cardboard instead of yarn. And they have the tutorials and stuff like that. I'm like, it's a Yoshi game. I pretty much just give me a controller and I can figure this out in no time. And then I guess the big one is Tetris 99.
Mm-hmm. Which everyone is playing now.
Apparently. I hope everyone has played.
I have not played it yet.
I do not have Nintendo Online yet. So.
What?
Well, I mean, I guess you could start there. It's like this is a free game, a quote unquote free game. If you're a part of Nintendo Switch Online, and it's actually probably the smartest move they've done with their online service. I mean, they could make it good, but that's another subject. because it's because
it's something.
It's something. It's a new original game that you get with. It's an incentive for the service. There's no in-app purchase, so you literally just get free for having a Switch Online account. It's not. I like the Nintendo games, but I've played those dozens of times or have accessed him elsewhere. This is something brand new, Switch exclusive. that makes use of the online in a new and creative way. And yeah, I don't think anybody would have ever said, we're going to make a Battle Royale game about Tetris.
I know. It's so weird.
I mean, they have said it, just joking.
Like, I have to imagine that was how it went in Nintendo. It's like, the Battle Royale genre is so big, but we don't really do shooters. What if we did Tetris? And so I just like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
So explain exactly what this is.
Okay, one, I will say, I think the Battle Royale is just a bad term for it. I know it's an all-encompassing term, but you're not really, I mean, I guess you are playing with other people, but it's like, I think of, but it's not like a survival thing where I think of like you getting different equipment and taking people out. But yes, essentially there are 99 players where the name comes from, and you're playing a game of Tetris. And if you've ever played that competitive Tetris, you know, like you can like create pieces and then you'll dump garbage on your player's screen. So imagine that with 98 other people doing the same thing to you, or you doing it to them. So how it works is, I believe there are four, you can pick the type of people you go after, or you can actually manually pick the people you want to go after. If you have that type of mental capability to kind of see 98 different screens and figure out the one that you want to go specifically after.
I was trying to do that, Earl. So like with your left stick, because you have to play with the D-pad to drop the pieces. But with your left stick, you could choose who you want to be attacking. Like, so the way the board looks is like your board is giant in the center of the screen, and the other 98 boards are like tiny all around it. And you could choose who you want to be attacking with your left stick. But I found it so distracting.
I would imagine so.
But like, you can easily scan, like, okay, I see that person's about to die. Like, that's at least how I was thinking. I'm like, I'm going to put my cursor on someone who's about to die to knock him out, like, to help knock him out, you know?
Well, on
I'm like, at the same time, I'm fucking missing drops on my board and fucking myself up. I'm like, what am I doing? I just put it on random and let it go.
Yeah, I was about to say, on the other end, there are four options. You could do random. There are KOs, which means that your pieces will target people or close to being KO'd anyhow. There are badges, which are tend to be people who have like high combo rates, so you can target them. And then I think the last one is attackers, so people who are focused on you as a defensive mechanism. And throughout the course of the game, you can pick the type, you can pick which group you want to target, or you can manually pick somebody to go after. And that's part of the strategy. And then again, you're still playing a game of Tetris. And what happens, I mean, if you played Tetris before, I'm sure everybody's played Tetris, you know, like Tetris can kind of start off easy and then get very intense. Mm-hmm. So what this does is it kind of ties it into the number of people. So from 51 to 99, it's a normal game of Tetris. It hits 50 and it amps up. Then it amps up again once it's down to 20 and then 10. So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, it speeds up, the music gets more intense, you're sweating bullets, you're wondering how the hell can you keep this going. And I guess it's a Mario and Sonic thing. Whenever music gets really faster in a video game, it just makes me nervous. And that's what Tetris does. And then it tells you, like, it will give you, like, this alert in it. It's Tetris, but it's so much fun. It's super addictive.
Once it gets to, I made it to the top 20 last night, like, right before bed. And that's when, for me, like, I'm not a good Tetris player to begin with. So, like, once I got to that point and it starts going that fast, it's like, ding, 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 ding. It's like, fucking just drop shit. I was like, I fell apart within seconds. And then, like, the funny thing is I came in 16th. So that means there were like three other people before me
who freaked out.
Who like were even, yeah, like it just, there's no way I'll ever be able to keep up past that. But like, just like with Tetris in general, like I've never been like amazing at it, but it's just such a fundamentally fun game that you don't have to be good at it to like it, you know?
Yeah, and I think
and this is free. So it's,
and I think the other thing, unlike other battle royales, it's a game of skill, but it's also like because you're in your own little thing, like you feel like if you win or lose, it's kind of on you and not necessarily on this person got a shotgun before I was able to get any weapon.
A little bit. Like, I mean, you could get like a bunch of trash thrown out.
Yeah, you can.
There is still some of that, right? With the trash throwing.
Yeah. I mean, you could get like a huge pile of trash real quick. But it's like,
I was watching people play at work, and there are people who are just insane with Tetris. It's a good thing those other screens are so tiny, because I think I'd see some of those people just leave the game. But yeah, right now I think the 99 is the only mode in there, but it seems to suggest that there will be other modes added, and I think somebody was data mining. So it seems like it might have something similar to Fortnite, where it's like a team versus team, like 50 versus 50 mode.
That could be cool.
Awesome. But yeah, there's no, like, that's it. Like, it's bare bone. Like, you can't just play Tetris on it. Like, it's just, you have to play that like, 99 mode. Yeah. So, but it's free and it's Tetris. And it's a new idea. It's like, I loved it. Like, I was having fun with it. I'm kind of, like, itching to play it again.
Yeah, it's a perfect kind of I have 10 minutes to kill type of game. And, I'm never going to begrudge having enough of those. And it's one of those, like, one more game, I can do better this time. And then you'll get completely swamped. But
for me, it's going to be, like, a perfect, like I was rewatching True Detective, like, the first season with Melissa last week. Like, while you're watching TV, something like that, we don't have to pay attention as much, kind of. Like, or just TV in general. I don't give a fuck. Like, I that's totally going to be taking up a lot of time. Like, which is weird, because, like, I wasn't looking forward to it. Pot came up out of the blue, and it was free, and we got new Tetris, boys.
Yeah, it's been a good...
It's been a long time, I know.
Tetris.
It's been, what, almost 6 months?
Yeah, I can't wait to play. I still have not played was it Tetris Effect?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
It's actually been a pretty... I mean, outside of the Ubisoft Tetris game, it's actually been a pretty good, what, 3-4 years? Because Puyo Puyo Tetris is actually...
That's a great one. Yeah.
So, just as a quick aside, I was given the heads up about this Tetris we didn't direct ahead of time. Just that Tetris was going to be in it. I'm like, that seems kind of dumb, because Tetris Effect just came out. I'm like, oh, maybe if it's like the DS version with the Nintendo skins and stuff like that. Never would have expected a Tetris Battle Royale game.
I mean, nope. It's taking an old idea and a new one and mashing them together, and it works. It does work. It's just like, and it's like this super, I don't know, how long would you say each match takes?
I mean, it honestly depends on how good you are.
It does kind of, no, I mean, I say if you make it to the near the end, like, it's not that long.
I mean, I've watched people pay for an additional, I could say it could go for like 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, so
that's if they're already good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can continue watching once you're out. It's that the only thing I would add personally is I wish you could actually, once you're out, you could pick screens to actually watch. Because it remains those super tiny screens.
Oh. Well, as you said, like, it's very bare bones, and they might be adding stuff. So maybe some UI improvements coming later.
So, I mean, just throwing this out there, since this is apparently a thing Nintendo can do now, is I would like to see a return to Pac-Man Versus with, like, 99 ghosts or something. There's actually a Pac-Man Battle Royale game, isn't there? There's, like, I think it's called Pac-Man Battle. It's before the boom. It's like a 4-player arcade game.
Yes, there is one where, like, there's, like, ghosts and... it's Pac-Man Versus, isn't it?
No, Pac-Man Versus is the one where people are ghosting.
Which, by the way, that is on Switch. I have that on Switch.
Yeah, it's on the NAM. No, it's actually called Pac-Man Battle Royale. It came out in 2001.
What? Are they the originators?
This is one I've never actually seen this in the wild, but I have heard of it, actually, now that I'm looking at it.
I've seen it. They have them at the barcades in the city. I've never actually played it, because it's a sit-down tabletop. People just use it as a table.
So no one would actually sit down with you and play.
Hey, I can get them to pay charters in time. That's all I need.
Yeah. So, cool. We'll be coming back to some Nintendo stuff shortly. Jeff, you play anything else?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Tetris 99 just like kind of wiped everything else out of my brain. You know what else I've mostly been playing? Breath of the Wild. You guys want to hear about Breath of the Wild?
No, absolutely not.
I've ever talked about that on this show before. I'm not even gonna say a word about it. I've been playing Breath of the Wild.
It's like the fourth best game that came out the year it came out.
It's like the fourth time I've played it. So there'll be 400 hours of Breath of the Wild.
I can't wait till we get to the new stuff because we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Oh boy.
Anyway, Tony, you've been playing anything?
So I started playing through Hitman 1, like Hitman, through Hitman 2. So it has all like the upgrades and stuff.
Oh, okay. I was like, not.
Oh, you not the full.
Hitman, not the original Hitman game, no, but the Hitman game that came out 3 years ago.
So you're like, but you did, yeah. So it has like the new shit applied. To
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Some of that stuff is bad.
Okay.
Like they've changed how some things work. So like there is one of the stories from Paris where there's this chick who's supposed to be the like interviewing your guy and you plant a bomb inside of her camera. Only they've like tweaked back the size of the explosion in the remote bombs so that you can't actually kill him with it. Kill your target with the bomb.
What's the point of it then?
So,
why would you remove Mayhem from Hitman? That's
not, it's funny, right? I'm standing across the courtyard. I blow the bomb up, and the guy gets thrown against the fountain, and he's still alive. He's like laying there unconscious. So I just pull out my pistol and shoot him in the head from all the way across the courtyard, and like run away like nothing happened. It's great. I love Hitman. I love these games. The mayhem is so much fun. My wife watches me. She's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, you see that woman? I'm going to drop a chandelier on her, and this guy's going to see. And when that happens, I'm going to hit him in the head with a fish. And then you just do that."
Fish.
I have a clip of that. I did it. I totally
did you do the one? I forgot which level this was in part two, but I kept trying to do this thing where I would like, I want to say, drop like a bomb or a Molotov or something down a fucking like chimney. So that, like, or something. God,
there's one where there's this woman who's like going into this statue of the Phoenix, and they like light it on fire to like, you know, symbolize rebirth or whatever. And she's like got an escape hatch, except you like disable the escape hatch so she can't get out, and then you take the place of the guy who lights it on fire. So you just walk up and burn her.
No, yeah, that's something else. I think of something else. I was trying to pull off where I would drop something from a floor above and it basically explode as she's walking by. And you have to time it. You have to be like watching her go into the building and be like, "All right, she's gonna be right here right now." And you toss the thing down the chute and blow her ass up. It's just like the game is just, it revels in all the ways you kill people. Like it's just so much fun.
It's so much fun. Like, you know, an impersonating guy. Giving out tattoos, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna kill you with the tattoo needle.
I saw someone joke one time that like they should release like a like slasher movie skin for it, so like where you could play as like Jason or something. I think that would maybe turn Chris around on it. I don't know, because that's literally like you are basically a slasher movie fucking villain in it. Like,
I don't know. I try to only kill the targets. Like, I'll knock out anybody. But I'm only trying to like kill the people I'm
supposed to. But I'm always trying to kill them in like the most
like, gruesome way you can think of, right?
Way. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's what I like about it. That's what I like watching about it. I am just really bad at them.
you have to imagine, man. Imagination.
I do. I imagine Tony is much better at it than me, and I like watching his clips.
I have so much fun with it. It is so good. So I think I'm going to try to play through all the stories in every Hitman level. I think that's my goal.
Nice.
Yeah, cause some of them, I mean, if you want the really, really cool kills, like, you really have to get deep into the story. And some of, like, the unlocks that you get, like, in terms of the ICA pickups, you need to do some of the really cool stuff. Like, in the Paris area, there's a shed that you can, like, plant items in if you get a high enough level. And it's the only way you'll ever be able to kill people with the sniper rifle. Because you can't, like, walk around carrying a sniper rifle because you instantly get caught by the guards.
A little obvious.
So you have to, like, plan it out where you're like, okay, I'm going to fix it so my person is in this spot at this time, and I'm going to run and grab the sniper rifle because I know ICA put it right there. And it's kind of like planning all that stuff out. It's really, really complicated and really fun. So I'm really enjoying it. More Hitman. We need more of these games.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I won the Super Bowl in Madden with the Patriots.
Oh God,
you love it. You love it. Tom Brady retired, so now I'm in the post Brady era.
Rebuilding stage.
Well, no, I don't rebuild. The Patriots just reload. So.
Fair. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just gonna say it's gonna be another undefeated season. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, have fun with that. Earl, you play any more Apex Legends?
Way too much Apex Legends. That was pretty much my entire weekend.
It's really good.
It is so good. It is. I mean, the only downside, I mean, it's a launch game. There are still some technical issues. It was down, I think, part of Saturday night. There are times when, like, I'm playing with friends where it will drop people from the party randomly, or people will start and you get dropped during the loading screen when they transition in. Aside from that, though, it's a ton of fun. I am still not that great at it, but every time I'm enjoying myself, just sometimes we will purposely drop into the hot zone. The hot zone is it's the area with the blue, like, beam of light coming out of it, and everybody tends to head down there because it's where you get the best equipment. And then it's like a mad dash to see who can get equipment first and kill people. I've played around with a bit more of the characters. I like Bloodhound.
Okay.
His powers are kind of sucks when it gets near the end, because it's more of a defensive power than anything. But his normal ability is you can press, what is it, left bumper. And they can scan an area to see if any enemies are nearby. And if any enemies are, like, if within a minute or so, you can kind of see where enemies were recently. Like, you can see if they walk by here and see their tracks and stuff like that, which is really cool. And then
you can, like, track them actually to where they are. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Or at least give your teammates the heads up that people just passed by here.
Right.
Or people might still be in the area. And then their ultimate ability is they kind of have that. They can kind of see in the distance if any enemies are nearby. Not too far, for about a minute or so. Again, which is really handy if you want to either Rambo it or kind of get your teammates a heads up. Like, oh, we can go to this path. There's nobody there. Or we can go here. There's, like, three enemies there. But, yeah, I mean, game still remains great to control.
Yeah. I, like, at first, you know, I was kind of like missing the wall running and the Titans, but I as I've played more, like, it's not necessary. Like, there's plenty of other ways to kind of move around. There's tons of zip lines, and the balloons are pretty cool, and you can really move around that map pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think the balloons are a great addition. I don't remember. I don't know if Fortnite or PUBG have anything like that. But the fact that you can find these and basically relocate to a different part of the map in a really quick fashion is super handy.
Yeah, Fortnite now has planes. I don't think there's anything in PUBG other than, like, you can get a car, but
that just makes you a sitting target.
Exactly.
But yeah. I, you know, I found out, I thought purple was the ultimate level, but you can actually find gold equipment. Yeah, and some of the gold, I mean, the cost of gold is top of the line. But, like, yeah, like for instance, you get the, you know, like you have the knockdown shield, which, honestly, I don't get the knockdown shield. Like, I understand the usage, but most of the time, you get knocked down, people are just going to kill you anyhow.
Yeah. Like, I have been able, I got a purple knockdown shield the other day, and I was able to actually use it and allow my teammates to kind of get in and kill the guy that was trying to get at me. But those regular shields, they're with like 100.
Yeah.
They burn pretty quick.
Yeah. But like the gold one, for instance, actually, I don't know if it's the gold one specific, but you can actually get one that has a self-resurrection kit, which is pretty kind of amazing to see you trying to resurrect yourself.
That is pretty cool.
I've actually done it once. And then I got up and I was going to inject myself with the syringe and I got shot. So it happened.
Yeah. Best I've done so far is third. So
I've done second and third a lot. I mean, I say that a lot of the times it's really just like I have like a play with friends who have certain types of strategies. And depending on where you drop, some of it works better than others. Like, I have friends who like to stay out on the outer rims of the circle. And then, like, each time it shrinks, you just kind of move in. So this way, like, you know, nobody's really going to sneak up behind you. So everything's kind of in front of you. The only problem is, like, the first two times, the rings are fine. But as the game gets closer, like, the rings close much faster.
Yeah.
But again, you can actually stay in there a very long time. Without
it's not like Fortnite or PUBG where you're like losing giant chunks of health. You can run around out there for a little bit.
Yes,
I saw a clip of somebody was playing as Wraith, and their team actually got knocked down. They were able to drop. They were able to like drop the portal and go and get their person. Who was inside the kind of like the circle where it was, well, outside the circle where it was like killing them, but they were downed and it was able to go and get them and revive them and bring them back. I was like, that's fucking amazing. Like how they, some people are doing crazy things with the abilities already. Hope yeah. I just get teamed up with some of them.
Well, the sad thing is when you're on the opposite side of them. But no, yeah. And I find that most of the abilities are pretty even. I will say I do still think the two offensive ones are, I guess three offensive ones, because Nox or Caustic
had, yeah.
Like the ones who have the mortar and stuff like that, like, because that also breaks down doors and stuff, so even if it doesn't kill you, it's a great way to kind of open up spaces so you can shoot people from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Have Tony or Jeff played yet?
I have not yet played. I will. I just haven't.
I have not. Although played
the
yet.
Odds of me playing anytime soon are really bad.
With why?
Anthem. Because yeah. Anthem is coming out, and because the Civ expansion came out today.
You could just play one game of Apex, and nothing else will matter.
I can play one game of Civ, and it'll be 3 days from now. I'm just saying.
That is true.
You could play so many games of Apex Legends in that time.
I will play it eventually, but odds of me like falling in love or anything with it, pretty low. Like,
I mean,
based on me with online shooters.
And, I mean, you did like Blackout, right? Like,
yeah.
I think this is a better take on that.
Oh, really? You think it's better than Blackout, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean the powers like add a lot to it. Also, it does so many things. Like it calls out like so much. Like the pinging system that we talked about. There's also like the fact that if you're shooting somebody, you can tell what kind of armor they have by the numbers that are coming off of them. So like if somebody has like a purple armor, which is like a higher, not the highest because Earl said he found gold armor. Or gold items, but it's like top tier item. you know it's going to take more hits to get them down. And then when you finally crack their shield, there's like a nice sound to it. It's like there's things that it just does real well to indicate to you what is going on. Another thing I really like is so you have your teammates, like all three of you are kind of like lined up on the side, your gamer tags. And let's say like Earl is in a firefight, it will showcase that on his name. Like it'll show the muzzle flashes. So you know that he is, like, even if he's not talking to you over like voice comms, like you know based on like what the UI is telling you that he is in a fight.
I will also say, and I think I mentioned this, the game will also, the characters will remark on that. Like they will say, I'm taking fire, or enemy spotted, or engaging. And again, it's the very simple stuff that they do. But the fact that the characters have so much specific dialogue for you, you can go through most of the game without talking to anybody. I mean, most of the time I'm playing with friends, I'm talking to them. But yeah.
And it's really satisfying to get like the kill leader like when we get named that. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, and it's even better. I actually killed my first kill leader the other day by accident.
Oh really?
Because we all jumped down and I think I ended up punching them to death. I punched a lot of people.
It's super satisfying too. Like
it's also insane how much damage a punch does.
Yeah.
I think it does something like 50 damage, so you can punch them twice and you would down them. They have no shields.
Yeah, so it's like a halo punch. Like it you know, it drops them pretty quickly. I mean, I wouldn't recommend just running around punching people, but like it is an effective strategy. Like when you drop down, and you don't have a weapon. Like you can engage because if you're running and you're running away and they're shooting you in the back, you're probably gonna die. So it's better to just kind of like engage and punch them. And my experience so far with it has been that the person attacking you doesn't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Oh my God. Cause it's not something you do in other games.
Yeah. Like, cause like you do it in Fortnite, but like it takes a while to do it with the shovel.
Yeah.
Or the pickaxe, as you say. Yeah. It's, it's fascinating how that works. Yeah, it's a great game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more of it this weekend. So, real quick, I did play Salt and Sanctuary, and I'm only bringing this up because I think this is a game that Jeff should probably play.
I have it.
You have it?
Yeah. I got nowhere in it.
Really? It's like it's 2D Dark Souls.
Yeah. It's like. You would almost think it was official Dark Souls. Like, that's how
it's straight up. Like, they drop salt, which are like the souls. Like, that's your currency. There's also gold, but you use that for different things. And then, like, it's basically like you go through these areas, get to the boss, and like unlock new areas. I was like, the whole time I was playing, I was like, I can see, like, I finally see what people like about Dark Souls. It just, in 3D, it just does not click with me. I'm still not super good at this, but I am making more progress than I ever did in Dark Souls. I just wish I understood like the leveling system a bit better because it has this kind of giant grid system. Like when you level up with your salt, it drops like this, almost like a Final Fantasy X sphere grid that's massive, and it's really hard to kind of like get a feel of, but has an okay art style, but I think the combat and exploration is pretty cool. So
that's cool. I couldn't get past the first boss or maybe it was the second boss, but I just got stuck and I was just,
yeah, so you know, you don't have to beat the first boss that because that's the one on the boat.
Yeah.
You can die to that, and then you end up getting... it took me like 7 or 8 tries to finally beat the boss, but then when I did, like, I finally noticed, like, oh, there is a pattern to, like, what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's a tell And also, I was not utilizing all of my abilities to their fullest. Like, I wasn't rolling out of the way. I wasn't getting close. I wasn't jumping over things. I was just trying to, like, beat them, like, just try and get in there and hack them. And I was, like, losing all my stamina.
Yeah. So,
like, finally I figured out, like, all right, you got to take it a little more deliberately.
Yeah.
You know, you jump in, you attack, you back up. You rebuild your stamina, mm-hmm. you avoid, and so it was pretty cool. I don't know, it does not work for me in 3D, but
I was gonna say, take what you learned there and apply that to Dark Souls, because that's exactly, you know, and I think it feels more fun in 3D, like the rolling or like circling and rolling out of the way and stuff.
Right. I wonder if it's just like the way, like the approach that I take the games. Like, I think 2D of this, like, is
like you can put yourself in that mindset more. Yeah. Of like, I gotta learn pattern and I gotta do this and that, you know.
Yeah, and it's like with 3D, like there's you're adding more variables, because like the arena is,
it's, they do have like a kind of like the Dark Souls boss have like a recognizable moveset if you like watch them good enough. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, like, if you're just good enough at, like, staying on your toes and dodging and building up and coming back, you know, like, that's all you got to do. All it is you have to hit them more times than they hit you. That's all it is in those games. That's kind of what I love about it.
But
don't get me started on Dark Souls.
Yeah. Anyway, and one more quick thing. Tony, did you play any of the Division 2 beta?
So I did. It's more Division.
There we go. That was brief.
Yeah, it's the exact same game. Like, they changed a few things. They put it in a new setting. It's just not
worse.
It's like, not worse.
I think the setting is fine. I think the setting is actually pretty cool. But I think some of the shooting and handling is not as good as it was in the original.
I didn't play the original, so I don't have a whole lot to compare it to.
It's a little more floaty, and I was missing more shots than I was in the guy. I think the aiming in the original is a little more sticky. Whereas this, it's like, oh, we're going to give you a little more free aim. And maybe there's like a setting you can change or something, but you can totally, just, you know, your base of operations is the White House. You can totally walk into the Oval Office. The destroyed Oval Office. There's a funny, maybe not funny, but there is a audio tape that you can pick up there. And if you play it, it's the president talking to the president of Mexico about our refugees escaping America going there. and it's just like you know, little throw to the current political nonsense that is happening.
Little jab.
Yeah. It doesn't really get political throughout it, but that was a neat little Easter egg that I found. Anyway, let's quickly talk about the Nintendo Direct. There's a lot here.
Is there?
I mean, I'm looking at a list of stuff that is on this list. Super Mario Maker 2. I'm down for that. Coming in June.
Yeah, I am stoked for that. I like that they added the 3D World stuff.
That's cool, yeah.
It's actually really, it was fascinating just watching the dynamic. Because there are people who are Mario Maker who are just like, oh my gosh, they added all this other stuff. And they're on this, like, what did they add? A lot of it, I think, is stuff you would have to have. Like, the soaps is kind of neat, but it's like not something that's like, oh my gosh, that's a game changer for a lot of people.
Like, I guess for me, like, I like Mario Maker, and I'll probably get this, but it's just like, I'm not like excited about it. I'm not like, oh yes, because honestly, I probably made like 3 courses, you know, like that would consider like full actual courses in the whole time I owned and played that game. And the number of actually good courses I played was not that high either. Like, you know, like the ones that people make, like some are amazing, and granted, there's all sorts of shit out there. Like, but like, you know, a lot of the ones when you do like the shuffle was just like not great. Like,
no, what I actually liked, and this kind of came up a little bit after we stopped but kind of after you stopped playing, Jeff, I guess. And I played a little bit longer after that, but we actually, a friend of mine, she created a Facebook page to share.
Oh, yeah, I'm in that. And that drove me a little bit. My desire to play that game.
People create new levels and like give you ideas. So it was like it kind of became like a challenge to like play their levels and see if I could beat them. And
well, yeah, playing somebody you know, it's different, and you're gonna give a little bit like you're not gonna be as harsh a critic probably.
Right.
You'd be like if you just like you're some like, oh, random dude. I can't believe my friend was able to put something together here that's like halfway decent. You know?
Yeah. So like I'm like excited to like get back and share stuff in that group and play more.
It's gonna come out in the summer too, right? So like you gotta imagine that like
it's gonna be a little dead.
It's gonna be like yeah, that perfect like well, here's something actually really fun for the summer. Like it's something that like we could all kind of like get excited about together and kind of play a part together. You know,
I will say this much though, I do agree that I think. One, they need to work on discoverability. Two, I think they need to do what they did with the 3DS version, which is I think the 3DS version has like 100 pre-made stages from Nintendo in it as well.
Yes.
You don't necessarily need to have like a full Mario campaign, but like, do some of that pre-made stuff. Or like, honestly, I don't know. I would have preferred if the first game, if they had a campaign, which was really just taking stages from the actual Mario games. And putting them in different styles. Like, do one room for Mario Brothers and, like, the Super Mario World style and call it a day.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, and kind of, like, teach you, like, well, this is what you could do along the way. Well, I hope there's something going on there with it. So, next on this list is... The one I'm like most excited for, I think, is the Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening remake. Mm.
Awaken, Link. Awaken.
So I did awaken when that trailer came. I was pretty bummed about this presentation because it like didn't give me certain things I wanted. It didn't give me Luigi's Mansion. It didn't give me Animal Crossing. It didn't give me I don't know really anything. It didn't give me Metroid Prime Trilogy, which like beforehand, some of us were like. Oh my god, what if they drop it like today? And it's like, nope, none of that. But this saved it for me. Like, this was such an awesome fucking little surprise at the end. Or big surprise, I'd say.
It looks great, too.
Oh my god.
I love the art style.
It looks like 3D dot game heroes to me. And I also just love, like, honestly, I'm sure some people will hate it. I love the way Link looks. Like, he just looks like a Lego toy or something. Like, he just.
He looks like a Funko. I think is the problem people have. I think I said it on Twitter. I do like that Nintendo love show because I think for a lot of people, Zelda is like this mature, epic story, and then Nintendo's like, no, it's about a little kid playing in his backyard, and they always kind of remind you of that.
Yeah, it's like I'll take to that realistic Breath of the Wild like shit, like. Even that's kind of stylized, but like.
Yeah, I have to say, like, Breath of the Wild is. I think a lot of people have these fond memories of Ocarina of Time. But Ocarina of Time isn't that serious either.
Yeah. No. Like, Breath of the Wild is cartoony, like, but it has, like, just some of the stuff, like, the environment looks a little more realistic, even though it is stylized. Like, but this is just, like, we're a fucking cartoon, guys. Like, remember, this is a fun kids game. Like,. And that, I love that. Love that Zelda. I love that type of game. And I love Breath of the Wild and I love the 3D Zeldas too. But I prefer 2D Zelda. So I'm like, this is so cool.
And I think it's a marriage of styles for them because I think they do like the top-down Zelda games. But I do think it would have been a hard sell for a lot of people at $60 if this was like a 2D... like an actual link to the past type game. So this is kind of like it's a 3D mod with a 3D world, but you still get that top down view. And one, I'm going to imagine that this will also include a modernized version of Four Swords Adventure. Because I think the original Four Swords came with this, right? Or am I thinking of something else?
I believe so, but not like with the. I don't think it was with the original release.
Not the original. I think it's the DX version or something.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about, because like right now, a lot of people, it looks like a straight up remake. I have to imagine they add stuff to it.
Yeah, probably.
Like a few extra dungeons or something like that. But I also see this. I see them doing what they do with Pokemon essentially, which is like, we'll get this and then like the next game will be a Breath of the Wild sequel. And then whatever's after that's going to use this engine, like a 2D. And then you kind of have what you have with Mario, where you have the 2D Mario style and you have the 3D games. And you can alternate between that because there's still fans of, I actually do prefer 2D Zeldas as well. But we shall see.
Yep.
Even if it's honestly, I've only played Link's Awakening once, and I didn't beat it. So I guess I'm a bad Zelda fan, but it doesn't matter. But I do wish there were a new game just altogether, like in that art style. Like that's
well, if you didn't beat it, then it'll be like a new experience for you.
It can, yeah, but like,
and I get what you're saying, but at the same time, this game is 26 years old. Is it going to be a new experience for a lot of people?
Yeah.
It's not like it's readily available. Like I think the last time it was re-released was as part of the 3DS Ambassadors Club.
That's when I played it, I think. For the first time.
And that's still almost a decade ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I got stuck somewhere. There was some really, and I bet you if anyone has played this a lot will know exactly what I'm talking about. There's some like really vague part and I couldn't figure out what to do next. And I just I did think I started to look it up like online what to do, and I was just like, I don't know, I don't like this. And like it's weird to me too, because like I did really like the game up to that point. I just fell off. Maybe something else came out. And I do like know that it's or for a lot of people it's their favorite 2D Zelda. So I guess maybe it'll sell me on it this time. I don't know.
It's also one of the strangest Zeldas, because even in the trailer, you can see it has a lot of influence from Mario. Chain Chomp's in it. Goomba's in it.
Yeah.
It's one of the few games that Warp makes an appearance in. So I'm curious to see all that in here. But yeah, cool. And the style of the game looks nice, but also the style of the animation that they use for the cutscenes looks great.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that animated... style, intro,
yeah,
so beautiful.
At first, yes. I was like, "Is this like Wind Waker 2? Like, what is going on here?" I came fully awake as soon as like that part happened at the very end. I was like, "Oh my god!" I also was sad inside a little bit because I'm like, "That means there's no Metroid."
Yeah, I'm curious. Well, I mean, Metroid is kind of in a weird place now because I assume they probably have trilogy done. But
that's
it's
what
like,
everyone says.
But now it's like, if we release it and Metroid Prime 4 is not out for another 3-4 years, it's odd to remind people it exists. Because you can be too early.
You gotta throw us a bone, man, though. Like, I can't be just about like timing it with the other game. It's also got to be timing with my fucking disappointment, man.
Yeah, but I'm
so sad right now.
On the flip side, they have a really, really big 2019.
They do. It's fucking jam packed.
And if it's not going to help like Metroid Prime 4 this year or next year, they can hold it till next year when to fill in one of the gaps that they tend to have. Like as interesting as this is, like their first half of the year is still kind of sparse. Like there was Mario last month, there's Yoshi next month, and then I don't think they have anything again until June.
Yeah. Yeah, Yoshi is end of March, so. All right. What do you guys think about Astral Chain?
I'm off, right? I honestly thought it was some fucking Bayonetta shit at first. I was like, what is this? I know this is something I want to play, but.
I
was like, yeah, it's probably Platinum. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it looks like a Platinum game, a very Platinum game. But actually, on rewatch, my second thought was like, this looks like it was like. Nintendo's like, we want to continue Xenoblade X, but we don't. It's very much in that cyber futuristic city.
Oh, you know what? you know, I think I thought it was at first. I'm like, is this like a Prime Hunters game? Because it kind of looked like one of those.
The guy who jumped down.
Yeah, like it looked like one of those other fucking not Samus characters. But no. So it's none of the things I thought. And at the beginning, I was like, I don't know, cool. And brand new fucking Platinum game that looks like a good Platinum game. Fuck yeah.
Okay, just as an aside, because I do want to mention this. Dead by Daylight was announced, and yeah, that game looks really, really rough on the Switch.
Our friend Javi, he said it's really rough on a PS4 Pro. So like, I'm really wondering how they're going to run that on the Switch.
Based on the trailer, they aren't.
Cool.
I was like, that's one of the times where I'm like, just use a CG trailer, dudes. This is not good at all. I was surprised at Hellblade does, though.
Yeah, that was kind of impressive.
I've still never played that game, and I've actually never like seen that game until that direct. That looked like a Tomb Raider. Or like, it looked like amazing. Like, I was like, what is this?
You have Game Pass now, right?
Yeah, and I know it's on there for free. That game amazing? Have you all played it?
I haven't played it yet.
What am I doing? Why am I not playing this?
Don't play it right now, Jeff. What are you waiting for?
It looks like a triple-A ass game.
I mean, it's from Ninja Theory.
Yeah,
which is actually surprising as well, because apparently, I mean, technically it's a Microsoft game on Nintendo system.
Should I be playing this on Game Pass there, Earl?
Sure. I mean,
it looks really good.
Oh yeah, I'm really fascinated by it. I've been meaning to check it out because a lot of people have talked about how it deals with mental health.
And you haven't played it either?
No. For some reason, I thought it was a PlayStation Plus or Games with Gold title at one point. But I checked both of my systems, and I don't have it in my library, so I don't know why I thought it was.
How none of us played this? It looked really cool, though. Like that was like that looks like my jam, like my type of game. So I guess I should check it out.
All right, I'm gonna run down some more games here. Stop me if any of them sound exciting for you. Fire Emblem Three Houses.
It's interesting.
Sorry, what?
That strikes me as a you game though, Tony.
Really? I've never played any
Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it's like a tactical strategy game.
Some fucking complex chess shit.
All right, well that's okay, I guess.
it's like the strategy RPG franchise. But I like that they're going with the whole Harry Potter vibe.
Have you never heard of this series?
Fire Emblem? I've just never played any of them.
Anyways.
Box Boy and Box Girl.
Oh, I'm super excited for that one. I have the Box Boy franchise. As long as they price it properly, I think the 3DS version is like $10.
Yeah, so if they could come out with us with something like that, that's not bad. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Yes, I think it looks good.
I did not
see that out yet.
No, there's Bloodstained Curse of the Moon.
Is it not a Games of Gold this month?
No, Curse of the Moon is.
Oh,
Ritual of the Night is the actual. Curse of the Moon is like the Castlevania 3 styled. It was like the 8-bit add-on that they did last year, and then Ritual of the Night is the actual.
The one they've been making for years, and like the one the one that came out last year was like a bonus.
Yeah,
like what do you call that? It was like if they reached a certain level on their Kickstarter, they made this other game. This one, yeah, it's like Symphony of the Night. It looks like it looks fucking awesome. They're like, I'm still excited for that game. I just there's times where I wonder if it's ever real, but.
I
it looks cool. Like,
I really hope it turns out good.
It looks great. It looks great on the Switch, so it can only look better. I might get on the Switch actually. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Mortal Kombat 11 is also coming to Switch,
which looked fine, but also like it lacked detail. I don't know if that was just me, But we knew that that was, I mean, it was part of the game, the Game Awards announcement.
Oh, okay.
So the big thing is that it's not delayed, because I think originally people thought it was going to be pushed back to May, okay, but it's coming day and date with the other versions.
That's cool.
We talked to Yoshi's Crafted World. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker gets an update, so you can do co-op, and there's some new DLC coming.
Guys, you can play Crackdown right now.
Right now.
I'm starting up the game. You're going to get my first impression right here.
Oh, boy. you can also buy that Captain Toad as a bundle for like with the game for like 45 bucks.
Yeah, which I'm probably, which I might do. I have Captain Toad. I'm thinking about it. I couldn't justify double dipping, but not at this, because Captain Toad has exclusive content for the Switch anyhow, and then now it has DLC content as well. So like now I'm like, okay, I can do it again. It's a super common and fun game.
You're describing my thought process watching that. I was like, yeah, you know, same exact thing. That's exactly what I thought.
Yep, good. Get Captain Toad again. That game amazing. I already rebought it, so.
So you're probably gonna be digging into this.
Yeah,
but how do you get it on its own? Is it like just $5 then for you, or what? Like,
I don't know. Who cares?
You get it regardless.
Yeah, I'm just gonna get the DLC. So, I guess there's a Smash Brothers update,
which was such a cock tease of an announcement. It's like we're gonna do an update.
Yeah, we'll let you know. Stay tuned. Also, I love whenever they cut back to the president or whatever. They're like, and now a few words from him, and he's just like, how are you guys liking this so far? All right, so here's our next game. Like, that's all he did. That's like all he did every time.
I mean, I did like it in the sense that
I loved it.
When they cut back to him, it meant like they were going to focus on something more in depth. Like, it's like, I don't necessarily care for it, but Dragon Quest XI S.
Yep.
I know a lot of people were not happy with that announcement.
Why not?
Because they feel like they got gypped behind the PS4 and PC version. Because it's like you bought one version and then all the stuff you wanted is being added to another version on a different system.
Oh, welcome to
early adopters everywhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not a huge Dragon Quest fan, but this seems pretty cool because like it has the retro-inspired visuals and HD visuals as well.
Well, I think the big thing is that it has orchestrated music, because I think the original release had MIDI and a lot of people weren't keen on that, and I've heard people even try to patch in like the actual music in the PC version.
Wow.
And were given cease and desist by Square, so that's why people are probably upset. But yeah, I imagine that content will come to the PS4 version and PC version eventually. Yeah.
Ultimate Alliance 3 coming this summer.
I'm super excited for that. It was just like one of those games. I think partially because it was announced at the Game Awards and it was glossed over, but it looks great. I'm a huge fan of the X-Men Legends Marvel Ultimate Alliance brand.
Yeah.
Four-player co-op gauntlet type games with X-Men, with Marvel characters. I'm all there.
Yeah, I can play that. I'm getting
it. If it's like not good, I'm probably getting it.
Yeah, I mean, I will probably buy Ultimate Alliance 3 regardless.
Yeah.
But it's like, I just hope it's good.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest Builders 2, that's July. There's new Star Fox missions in Starlink Battle for Atlas, so that's kind of cool.
Terry Crews, stop yelling at me.
I was honestly surprised that game got DLC at all.
Right? I did not think it did well. I like it. It's pretty cool, but I did not think it was going to get anything extra.
Nah. And the fascinating thing, I mean, I guess Ubisoft can reveal more later, is none of its toys that I've created. As far as I can tell, it's just DLC.
Yeah, which is a smart way for that game to handle it is like you can buy all the stuff digitally. Like there's like a digital pack. You get all the toys that way. You don't need the toys to play. I mean, they're fine, but you don't need them. So, Rune Factory. I don't know anything about Rune Factory.
Nope.
Deltarune. Also, not really sure what the hell that is.
It's the spiritual successor to What is that
game? Undertale.
Undertale.
Okay. I do know.
And I think it's, And I think it's the first console port, so that's kind of a big deal for this.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
A certain circle, but yeah, it's whatever.
They dropped Final Fantasy IX during the right after the direct. And 7 is coming in March.
And then 10 and 10-2 and 12 are April.
Yes. Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon coming March 20th. It's the latest Chocobo Mystery Dungeon game. Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered coming in May.
Not sure why, but okay.
Whatever.
Oh, come on. That game is going to be so much fun. Also, it's part of the season pass.
It is.
I'm playing it for free.
I just have no desire to get it on the Switch. Like,
yeah, it's wait, no. Isn't 3 already... Wasn't 3 the only one on the Wii U? Or am I thinking of something else?
Was 3 on the Wii U? I don't remember.
Which game?
I think it was... 3.
Which game?
Sorry, it was... 3. It was like 3 and Black Flags, I think, were on the Wii U, OU2 that came out there. But yeah, it's an odd one because like, they're way beyond that. Like, if you're going to remaster any of them, I would imagine that you do the Enzo trilogy.
Yeah, well, they already have done those. They're not available on Switch, but they have done the Ezio trilogy for PS4 and Xbox One. I guess that, I mean, they add, as Tony said, they were adding 3 and is it Liberation?
Yep.
They're both coming as part of the Odyssey stuff. So
I don't get it, but whatever.
I liked 3. I mean, it had its issues. It was a little all over the place, but it told an interesting story, and it kind of involved, you know, historical events that I thought were really cool. So...
Yes. Anything else from the
Crackdown? By the way, Crackdown 3 starts with like 10 minutes of cutscenes.
Awesome.
Awesome. There was that new Square Enix game, the action RPG. Who's Oniki?
Yes. That's by the I Am Setsuna people.
Tokyo Art Factory or whatever they're called. Yeah, it looked interesting. So I'm curious. I'll keep my eye on that. But yeah, that was like the only other one that kind of came to mind.
No love for the Disney Tsum Tsum Festival. No. there was some other news. It's getting late now, though. Is there anything that like we wanted to touch on real quick?
Well, yes. I think the big news of the week was the Activision Blizzard stuff.
Oh, right. Yes. 8% of Activision's workforce.
Yes, which is roughly about 800 people. And, I mean, the dichotomy of it was that Activision had a banner year. I mean, they had their best year ever. And it's kind of, I think, you know, that was the conversation around gaming this week is, one, everybody's talking about unionization again. I do think that it needs a union. I think more in the sense that like the entertainment industries, like movie, TV, and stuff like that have great unions. So even if you're not working, there's a ton of stuff that protects you.
Yeah, there's benefits to being part of that union.
But yeah, I think it was just one of those things that I think we mentioned this last week with EA, where once again the expectations of companies seem so out of whack with what's actually out there. Like, I think they raise what, something like $13 billion or something insane like that, and it was still beneath their projections. And it's like, how?
Right. Yeah.
What was wrong with your projections? That's kind of
corporate America, man.
Right. I mean,
fucking corporate America.
Yes.
It's the way corporations are designed, because it always has to be better than last year. It's always about maximizing the profit. It's like it's literally how they're designed by law, you know, to maximize profit over any other consideration. And it's just.
And I do think that, and so I work in finance, and some of the terms that were being thrown around on Twitter, and I didn't read too far into this, but people were throwing around the terms like revenue, like that's how I guess Bobby Kotick started the conference. Was like, we had our biggest year of revenue.
Yeah,
that means they brought the most money in that they've ever done. That does not necessarily mean that the profits have been.
Yeah, so maybe marketing ever. Speak like the way of spending something.
Yeah, but it's like we brought in way, more dude, money than way. We ever did, but the other side of that is probably also we spent more than we were expecting or than we should have. So our profit margin and our profit numbers aren't record. Like, because like if your profits are record, that's how you start off. You're like, our gross profit is X. I'm not making. Not making excuses for them, but
it's still shitty. Even if so, like it's still like, oh, you're
no
hugely,
doubt.
You're a hugely profitable company, but you are not as profitable as you expected. So therefore, we're just gonna like cut these jobs. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess the thing is, and I think you know, like even before this came out, the big story. I mean, the story was that like everybody knew it was happening, but Activision wasn't. Informing anybody of it. So you had people, and I think the story actually broke like last week in Bloomberg, where they said that Activision was expected to cut staff. So people have known for like weeks that they might or might not lose their jobs. And I can tell you, as somebody who went through this recently, it is extremely stressful not knowing if like you're going to work the next day or your boss is going to put everybody in the room and say, go home. Yep. We don't need your services anymore. And the worst thing you can do is keep people in the dark when everybody else knows something's up. Like,
yeah,
you can't imagine. Yeah, can't. You probably can't tell everybody like you're going to be a go of, but like maybe at the start of the year say like, oh, you know, we expect a reduction in staff at the end of the fiscal year or whatever, but not telling people when everybody else knew. Like Jason from Kotaku. Had tweets about it all day with people from like Activision Blizzard out in their parking lot crying, not knowing if they're going to have a job at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's something that, I mean, just corporations in general do terrible. They don't communicate well with their employees.
And I always find it funny because
they don't care. That's why they don't give a shit.
Well, they do care and they don't care because in my last two jobs, this has been a topic that has come up constantly. Like, how do we improve internal communication?
Yep.
And everybody will do like a billion different things, and none of it's ever like just be honest with people.
Or when like that's basically like we do the same thing at my job, and it's like, well, what do you want? Well, we just want you to tell us what's up. Like, just tell us. And the answer is always, well, there's some things we can't tell you.
Yes. And the problem with that is that unless you're keeping it to yourself, it's going to come out.
Yep.
So it's better to come from you than to hear it from somebody like the janitor at the water cooler.
Yeah.
Because there's way too many moving parts in most companies for something not to be telephoned in.
I also something that I saw running around you know, Twitter and Reddit is you know people saying they're going to boycott Activision and EA games, and that's great. Ultimately, like you're angry at their executives. You boycotting and not buying EA games because of this is only going to hurt more people on the bottom tier. Like it doesn't hurt them at the top.
Never and does.
Exactly.
Even if they went out of business or whatever, it's not going to hurt them.
Right. Like, cause they have their golden parachute.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the solution is, but rigged like
fucking system. Well, unions help. It's hard to do though. Like just to say to someone in a field that, unionize, it's that's like, okay, how?
I
wouldn't know how. I'm in a union.
I think the problem is that a lot of people have demonized unions because you pay a due. And
they're
I
awesome.
Get it. Yeah, everybody wants awesome. To make sure that you get everything you can out of your paycheck, which is like a weapon issue with taxes and stuff like that. But yeah, unions, a good union is extremely helpful. I think, you know, there people have had examples with bad unions, and I've had personal problems with union reps in our organization, because some people become those roles and they do it more to piss off managers.
Because the managers are scared of those people, kind of. They can't like really touch them as much. That's part of it. And then like, yeah, they don't really work as hard. But it's, I get what you're saying. I've kind of seen that. I hate to say it, but
yeah,
because anytime you give people power, like, they're going to exploit it.
So. Well, it sometimes matters who gets the role, and yeah,
right. I mean, that not obviously not everybody. Yeah. But, you give the wrong person power and they will exploit it however they can.
But, you know, you can't let any bad apples. It's the same thing goes the other way, too, where it's like, as a union rep, you're going to be sometimes fighting for people who are maybe not great employees. Yeah,
people
but
should be fired.
You know, right. But you're going to be helping everybody as a whole have a better fucking life, you know? And there, I could almost never go back to anything else. Like, I just, the fact that, like, just knowing I can't get fired, like, you literally, like, would have to, like, do a trial to fire me, you know, like, right. Way different from fucking any other job I've had in my life, you know?
Yeah. But to kind of get off this subject, because I know, the other thing, and I think this is something that we had commented on in a week's back, is that Activision confirmed they pretty much have nothing this year. They're going to use this year as a rebuilding year. So even though they are firing about 8% of their current staff, they're also going to expand their staff for their big projects, so Call of Duty, Spyro, Crash.
Bring back Pitfall.
Fuck yeah.
There was two other brands they were talking about. Oh, Overwatch and WoW. And I think I think that's what we're going to see in the future. It's like they're not going to create new brands. They're going to focus on their core stuff.
Recreating their brands.
Not even. I think you're just going to get Call of Duty. You're going to get Overwatch content. You're going to get WoW expansions. You're going to get, you know, a new Spyro, a new Crash, and I think that's it. I don't think you're going to see like.
I don't think they have the license anymore.
I don't think you're going to see Tony Hawk. I don't think you're going to see what Rock Band, Guitar Hero. I forget which one they do.
They have Guitar Hero. I think that's done. Like they laid off the staff that did the last one.
Yeah,
they don't own Tony Hawk.
I don't think they have a license for Tony Hawk.
They
ended with that last one or something like that.
But yeah,
like, that's part of the reason why they did that last one, I think.
But yeah, you're going to see them do. They're just like, you're either going to be Call of Duty or Call of Duty DLC or Overwatch DLC. And yeah, there's not going to be new games from them. I think they're trying to lessen risk. And it's so cynical that I guess ideally the second or third biggest third party company doesn't see any value in trying to actually try anymore.
Yep.
That's always good news.
Yeah. Right?
Effort? Nah, we don't need to put in effort. It's fine. We're good.
It's fascinating because we heard something similar with EA, Activision. Like, it's an interesting dichotomy because it's like the industry is doing so well, but it's doing so well by crowning a few champions, and then everybody else is starving for the leftovers, and it's just getting more and more like split in that way. Like, you're gonna have your Call of Duty, your Assassin's Creed, your FIFA's, and then a gap, and then everything else.
All right, so Jeff, just a little clarification for you. Activision owns the rights to the Pro Skater name, but
Rodney Mullen Pro Skater, here it comes.
Yes, Tony Hawk, his brand is now not with Activision. So
whatever, it's dead.
So yeah, Activision. And then there was the weird PlayStation stuff, where there were like a cross place open for business, and developers are going, no, it's not.
Yeah, that's just awkward PR from Sony, because they're like, oh no, it's developers. They just need to ask us, and we'll be fine. Developers like, we've asked, and you said no, and it's like, yeah, like what? Like, you can't put the onus on people who are gonna make. Yeah, we asked, and they're more vocal than you are, because then Sony has to go through this whole PR thing again. It's right. It's a nightmare.
They love shooting themselves in the foot on this. Just say, like, hey, like, I mean, you already came out once and said, we think that our games are best played here. That's all you have to do. Let's call it a day. Go with the arrogant attitude towards it. But, like, this nonsense where it's kind of, like, crossed communications, it makes them seem inept. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a... It was an odd discussion from them, and some of it, I mean, I've not seen the full talk, so maybe some of it has gotten lost in like the headlines, because there's another thing where it's like, it seemed like Sony's going to focus more on bigger games than like smaller titles. And I mean, it's working for them, but Sony's also, you know, whether it works or not, it's a different story, but I've always enjoyed the fact they are probably the most experimental first party.
Yep.
As far as like, yeah, we'll make this huge epic open world game, we'll make this cinematic adventure, and we'll make like this 2-hour experience.
Yeah, they try weird things there. Just I wish they would embrace outside of that. Anyway, I think that's it for news, unless you guys have anything else.
The end.
Bugging you.
Crackdown is so great. It's so great.
Are you enjoying yourself?
It's fine.
Are you still in a cutscene?
No. I guess the cutscene then after
a while. How many orbs do you have?
I have no idea.
3.
Good job.
I'm in like a boss battle.
Got Earl.
What happened?
I thought you were saying something.
Oh, I was going to ask him how much Terry Crews is in it so far.
Do you want me to spoil it utterly for you?
Does he die right away?
Dies like right away.
Oh.
but they clone him and bring him back.
Yeah. So he's in like a little thing.
Okay.
A little thing.
Like a little tube.
Oh, he's like a head in a jar.
Yep. Basically.
Oh, God.
Terry Crews.
It's like you take all the good parts of Terry Crews and you're like, no, we don't need those.
like a B movie.
Can't
like,
wait.
Turned into a game.
That's can't a B, wait.
C game.
Can we play Anthem yet?
You know, I know.
That might not be. I guess you guys have tried it, so you know if you like it or not. But
I liked what I played of it.
You hate it as much as Apex.
I like that more. All right. Well, we will be back next week with Tony's in-depth thoughts on Crackdown 3. There'll be
an Anthem.
An Anthem.
And what else is? Oh, and is Far Cry tomorrow?
Far Cry is tomorrow. Metro is tomorrow. Jump Force is tomorrow. Everything is tomorrow. It's kind of a crazy day. Everything kind of seems mediocre that is coming out, but
I'll have some Crackdown for you.
But which is going to be New York? Actually, is there any Anthem reviews out?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't actually hit till next week, though.
Oh, this Friday. Oh, that's stupid chart. I couldn't read. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's the 22nd, and it's if that chart should state that. You can play it if you have EA access or Origin access starting tomorrow.
I mean, to be fair, I would still expect reviews. Like, my rule of thumb is, like, reviews should be out before any consumer can get your product.
I kind of agree.
Well, we're going to start hearing, well, you're going to know tomorrow anyway, so.
Yeah.
You're going to be hearing from a player. Like, the consensus is going to arrive.
Well, I mean, the thing with those games is, like, 10 hours is a very small chunk of it, so.
True, but people are going to be having fun.
This is true.
Well, is it going to be a small part of it? Like, I can see, like, oh, I've already beat, you know, like, some people beat the game and that's it for them.
Right. Which I think is kind of how I'm going to play it, because I don't know if I really want to devote 300 hours like I did to Destiny, so. And then just come back for, like, DLC or whatever. But we will see. Anthem, Crackdown. Anybody playing Far Cry or Metro?
Hell.
Civ.
I'm Civ.
Hell no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to be hearing about lots of strategy games because there's a bunch coming out.
I'm going to talk for Crackdown 3 for, like, I don't know, 45 minutes next week.
Okay.
Game of the year.
You and I can talk about it because I'm playing it right now.
Yeah, we all have played it.
It looks like a great game from 15 years ago.
Seriously. Yeah.
It's
I don't know what's going on. Glory. It's right there.
It's phenomenal
for 2008.
It's just embarrassing if it's one of your big first, like, party games. Is that?
It doesn't look bad. I'm not like I'm making fun of it right now.
It's weird. I like it too, but it does look old. Like,
I don't necessarily mind something like an old. It's that it seems to have not evolved in its gameplay either in that 12 years.
That doesn't bother me. No. There hasn't been a real Crackdown game since the first one. So I mean,
yeah,
not,
but
like, I'm not going to complain about it.
You still want to kind of, like, I guess, what's massively different in this one?
It's just, I don't know, dude.
Terry Crews is in it, obviously. That's
after the, all,
I
like, watched Rooks
the Nine
and all this
Terry Crews.
The game opens up with him, like, screaming at you. I keep waiting for him to yell, Night Nine. He never does. It's sad.
I don't know. It's.
You just want it to be this big AAA game for Microsoft. It's just not. It's like a C-tier game.
I think the issue is that Crackdown kind of always... Like, Crackdown at best was a B-tier game.
I know, but like you want them
big game. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I think, like, I don't know. I was never expecting this to be amazing.
I wasn't either.
If I get 8 or 9 hours of fun jumping around, grabbing orbs
for free, basically. Yeah,
I was already paying for Game Pass.
I think the thing with Crackdown 3, and we should go soon enough. I think the thing with Crackdown 3 is because Microsoft does so few first party titles, it kind of takes on this height, and like it has to be amazing because they come up with like one every 6 months.
And after so many failures, like, come on, like, and then it's just again.
You know, kind of using Nintendo. We talked about Yoshi. I'll get Yoshi. I'll enjoy Yoshi. I'm not expecting Yoshi to change the world, but that's because Nintendo does so many first party titles. They don't all need to do that. The same thing with Sony.
Exactly.
But Microsoft, like, what was the last one that they, October?
Horizon 4, yeah.
I mean, yeah, and Horizon's always amazing, but that's it now. That's the only thing that's always amazing.
Gears.
Is it still good? I don't necessarily have a problem with Halo 4 and 5.
I really like Halo 5 too.
But those are also both kind of like in the rear view for a while.
They are. Like, so there's not been a new Halo in 4 years.
But I think that's good because I do think we were at a point where people were complaining that it came out too often.
Yep.
So. I do think they need to find a balance where, like, maybe 3 year cycles.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen one by now. Like, but I'll be happy with Gears, I guess. And hopefully these new studios can start dropping some stuff. They did rename Microsoft Studios to Xbox Studios. Yeah. And if you look at the so they have all the studios listed out in a line with like imagery above them. And if you look at the one for Playground Games, there's a picture of like a, you know, Forza Horizon, but there's also some sort of like medieval castle thing on top of it. So hopefully like they're working on, you know, I mean, we know they're working on some sort of adventure type game. So hopefully that turns out good. And hopefully we hear about it soon.
E3 is only, what, 3 months away now? 4 months?
4 months, yeah. 4 months away. So anyway, we will be back next week with actual Crackdown talk.
What I have been giving such horrifyingly amazing analysis.
You're right. We'll get more in depth. How about in depth Crackdown talk? After,
I have a car now. I'm driving around in the car right now.
After Tony has had more than 35 minutes of playtime with it.
And fingers crossed for our third Battle Royale stealth drop next week. We're on a roll right now.
Yep.
So, oh, God, that was a civilian. Sorry.
And I think that's a good place to end it. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.